Welcome to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast, coming to you from the Cargo District Recording Studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, where we discuss the most fascinating topics of life. I'm Tyler Yaw with my co-host, Chris Kelly, and each week we interview a special guest to learn how they acquired their wisdom over a glass of whiskey. So sit back, pour yourself a glass, and enjoy Whiskey and Wisdom.
Welcome back to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast, coming to you live from the Cargo District Studios. This is your constant host, Chris Kellum, and
Tyler Yaw.
This week, we bring on a man of many hats and multiple businesses.
John Karn. Today, I'm here with Port City Apparel.
Nice. And for those who've been around a while, he is, or his business, has been the person who actually made our original glasses.
Yeah. And we kind of got set up with everything. Just a quick shout out to, there was a giveaway that I, one of the only giveaways I've ever won in my life. So it was super exciting. And it was the very first branded merchandise that Whiskey and Wisdom had. So that was pretty exciting. And when we were looking to brand our glasses, we knew who to go to because of that. So we've
been
extremely happy ever since.
Great. Well, Heather in our office who handles our marketing, she is a big fan of y'all. And she set this up. So today is my first podcast. So hopefully it goes well.
Awesome.
Otherwise, Heather won't set another one up. Right. But super grateful for the opportunity, not just to be here, but just to share a little bit about our story. And then also, this is so new. So I'm excited to get maybe some wisdom from you guys as well, which is cool.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I mean, if you ever want to start your own podcast, you do have a studio you can use.
So right. I think one of the biggest bridges from my generation to, let's say, Heather's in her early 20s, and then you guys in the middle, it's just this medium and truly understanding, you know, the power of it and the just the ability for people to connect on a different level. And just that's a constant source of learning for myself as well as the other elderly people in our business. Anyone who's over 30 in our business is considered the older set, which is pretty funny.
I get that, yeah.
So anyway, but yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Thank you.
And actually, with that being said, too, just a shameless plug for Cargo District Studios. We're actually starting a summit. It's going to be called Build Your Community Summit. And we're bringing in people that have built pretty good communities around the Wilmington area specifically. And what they're doing is kind of coming out and saying, like, hey, these are the ways that we built our community around us. And the overarching theme for us when we talk about it is going to be how you can build your community using podcasts.
Very cool.
Yeah. So it was a kind of cool thing that's coming up and it kind of fit into what you were talking about there.
Yeah. And I think like for our business, we're connected with so many different types of businesses.
Right.
So I think there's three different customer groups that we serve. All of them have a community, but some of them are maybe in town. I'd say probably 50% of our business would be regional to the Cape Fear region. And then 50% is outside of that. But we get to interact, especially through our event products, like some of the marathons that we work with, some of the 5Ks that we work with. We work with a great company in town through Go Time and through Without Limits. We do a tremendous amount of events and we get to go to see everything from Habitat for Humanity do their turkey trot. And then you see the actual end use of that, which is they raise the money and then they're building houses here in town for people that need them. And so it's great to be in business and it's great to serve people, but it's also great to see the businesses that you serve serving other people, which is pretty cool.
That's great. And before we get too far into it, Chris was doing a lot of research on our newest whiskey here. So tell us about what we're sipping on today, Chris.
So I somehow walked through the liquor store and saw this bottle. I was like, oh, it's pretty. It's Baker's. It's from the Jim Beam family. But it's very interesting. So every one of the bottles, the whiskey has to have been aged for at least 7 years. 7 years. Yep. This bottle, actually, and it looks like they're all 107 proof too, which is kind of cool to do all that work to make sure it gets to the same proof.
Yeah.
But this one was aged for 7 years, 10 months. But traditionally, when they put it all in there, it's supposed to have a more fruit, vanilla, caramel on the nose, but your palate is supposed to be more of a medium bodied with little oak and vanilla, but they're all single barrels. So each one is going to taste a little bit different.
I just took a sip and I tasted all of that.
See, that's what I'm here for.
Yeah. Thank you.
So let's just take another sip and
cheers. That is good. You can taste that.
Yeah, they definitely say the finish is robust flavors that sit on your tongue.
107 proof.
Yeah.
That's spicy.
It is, but it's not as spicy as I was expecting for a 107.
No, it's super smooth, but it hits you in the back of the throat.
Yes.
Especially compared to the last one we had.
Oh, yeah.
That was only like 80
proof. 80 proof.
Yeah.
So which makes a big jumped difference.
Jumped up 27 like in one shot.
I feel kind of funny because I think I had a choice in the selection of this. So I'm like, yeah. So if it's kicking you in the back of the throat, that was on me.
Right.
Well, it's nice too. Like I always look at whiskeys and I'm trying to figure out like when would be the best time to drink it. Because a lot of people are like, well, I'm only a whiskey drinker. And I'm like, understandable, but I'm not going to drink a Macallan all the way through summer. It gets too hot.
Right.
This, even though it's a 107, definitely has like a warmer taste to it. So I could see it as like another one of our like spring fall drinks versus we do have some that are like real spicy, like a lot of ryes. It's hard pressed to catch me drinking a rye in the middle of summer.
I would think 40 degrees, little fire, feet up, sun setting.
Yeah. That's kind of what I'm thinking with that one too. Yeah.
I mean,
it may be a little bit colder for that one.
Yeah. If it's 40, it's a little too cold. I would drink this at like,
I think that'll warm you up.
Yeah.
60. Like if it's 60 degrees outside when I don't have mosquitoes or anything and you just can watch a sunset.
Sure.
Yeah. But I'm not going to argue. I definitely like your setup too.
Yeah.
I just don't have a fire pit.
Yet. So with that being said, enough about the whiskey. Tell us a little bit about yourself, John.
Well, as I shared, this is its second generation for us. And I say that we started our business, my wife and I, in San Diego.
Oh, okay.
So we're both transplants from Southern California. And we started the business there, had our three boys there, and through some just pretty big events, chose to move. A couple of those events were, my wife was in a pretty serious car accident she was pregnant with our third son.
Oh, wow.
And just through the process of just meeting with the doctors, and she was in the emergency ICU for almost 3 weeks. And they shared that our youngest son was probably going to have some severe just developmental issues from some of the blood loss and some other oxygen issues from my wife's accident. And at the same time, our business had a pretty traumatic event during the same 3 week period. We had a 4th of July t-shirts that we were making for a big customer. Mm-hmm. And it was a couple container loads and they got seized by customs for an x-ray exam. They had a date on them.
Yeah.
And I was calling and they, hey guys, if you don't let the t-shirts out, we're going to have a problem. Like it's 4th of July. Isn't good. So those two events, I remember standing with my dad in the elevator in Scripps Medical Center in San Diego. And this was in 2004, I guess. And I said, we're out. Like, he's like, what do you mean we're out? Cause everybody was from Southern California. And I said, we're going to move someplace where we can just get Michelle, get my wife. And then our third son's Christian, just get him someplace where we can take care of him. And so that took a process to get everything done. And we moved parents, grandparents. We all came out here in 2000. We actually bought in 2005, but we didn't move till the next year. And it was very interesting because we had a business in California at the time and just trying to do business. You got to remember before Skype was real. I mean, it just started, but it was really glitchy. And most of our customers in our business were a branded apparel business. So back in those days, we were doing mostly Disney, Universal, and Hard Rock Cafe was our biggest client. They were very hands-on. They needed to have, you know, every design had to be perfect. It was retail. So it wasn't necessarily doing promotional products. This was retail apparel that was going to sell for a lot of money. And so that was just a really tough process. So we all got here. My original office was the Port City Java down on 23rd and Market Street.
Oh, yeah.
And I just sat in the corner until Steve finally came after about a year. He's like, dude, like, I know you buy a couple coffees, but you're here like 10 hours a day. And so then we opened a little office. And so that's how we got here to Wilmington. The business side of it really started, you know, decades ago. And my wife actually was a business student at San Diego State. I was a history major, English minor. I thought I was a volleyball player there.
Oh, wow.
Wanted to coach and teach. And I went to work for a little volleyball apparel company. Mm. And I really fell in love with the people more than I did necessarily the business. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I got in. Instead of teaching and coaching and having my summers off, I wound up getting into this crazy business. And so that was a long, long time ago. But really, I think the move to Wilmington was just a game changer on many levels. We moved from a really fast community, mm-hmm. San Diego or Los Angeles. It was very, very fast.
Right.
Everybody's in a hurry. The product was in a hurry. The people were in a hurry. Yep. And getting here, everything slowed down, mm-hmm. which was a little bit good and a little bit bad from a business perspective, because we would expect people here to move as quickly as the people there.
Yeah.
Nope. And it took a couple, 3 years to really get on the same wavelength.
Because when you're sending an email expecting a response, somebody's like, I'll give it a couple hours. Or like, take a day to think about it.
Yes.
Over there. Yeah. I'm sure they're like, okay, you got an answer within.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you for our sponsor, the Leland Brewing Company, right over the bridge in Leland Township. Definitely check them out. It's a nice local spot with local beers that they're making on site, as well as some that aren't from the area. It is an amazing family-friendly location, and it's really nice. They got some greenery out back, as well as some nice food trucks that pop up every now and then. So give them a check out. Tell them that Whiskey and Wisdom sent you.
Yeah, and our biggest client was in Florida, so we were on the West Coast. Well, they would be up at 8 here, so we would be up at 5. And then a couple of our other big customers were on the West Coast, and they would work till 6. So we were working, you know, 5 to 6. Yeah, it was pretty busy. And so I think I heard a couple of your episodes this week where there was a couple of interesting topics that came up. And one of them was the financial slowdown.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So that hit us here as well. And so we actually have 4 businesses here. And Port City Apparel came about in 2009. And it was a direct impact from the financial crisis just affecting all the end user destination resorts. So mm-hmm. Universal, Disney, Hard Rock, they all slowed down dramatically in 2008. Mm-hmm. And we had to like think, well, what are we going to do? And so Port City Apparel was born in 2009. And it really was able to utilize all the manufacturing skill we had from our manufacturing side of the business for JMJE, which is our manufacturing company. And it also was able to do small business, I guess, outlook and small business production levels,
right.
Whereas our core business was doing big numbers. Mm-hmm. And so that was a big transition too, was trying to figure out how do you do 24 when we were used to doing either 240 or 2,400.
Right.
Yeah. So that was a mind shift for us as well. And just watching Wilmington grow, this place is, since we moved here, it's tripled in the number of businesses that are here, the number of people, and really the number of opportunities. Mm-hmm. And that has also brought a whole bunch of talent to the community. Some of it's homegrown through UNCW. Yeah. We have, I think, 9 or 10 Seahawks on our team.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
A lot of Cameron business grads. And so, yeah, that part of it has been really neat. And then just from a business aspect, starting to utilize a lot more of the East Coast facilities for production. And then we brought our own machines in.
Oh, wow. Okay.
As well. So in the first 5 or 6 years, everything was on the West Coast, even though we were based here and our office was here, all the production was out there. Mm-hmm. So.
So how do you still have a smaller staff, or you have a larger staff now?
So we have larger staff. Mm-hmm. So the pandemic was another event you guys talked about a couple times this week. And that was a big challenge. And for us, we had a commitment to keep everybody on for as long as it could sustain, the business could sustain our team. And mm-hmm. it's about 150 days with zero revenue. And it got a little dicey/concerning. And from that time, I think our team was about 13 in 2020. And now we're, I think, 17. So we've grown a little bit. And there's 4 different businesses. So the Port City Apparel side of it has the largest amount of team members. Mm-hmm. And it's got the most production level here in Wilmington as well. Our knitting business is not based here. So the sales office is here, but we do probably produce the product someplace else.
Okay. So
When you started the knitting company, was that before or after Port City?
So great story. So we started the sock. So we have a sock business called Socko. It's 100% USA made sock business. And that was created with a partner. And our partner was the artistic side of it and the creative side of it. We were going to run the business side of it, the production side, the financing side, of the warehousing side, which is something that we're really, that I think we're really good at that.
Right.
And my wife is now my only partner, thankfully, but we've had a couple partnerships in our business career.
Yeah.
Partnerships are really tough. Mm. It's a business marriage.
Right.
So the sock company was started in 2008, Socko, and the Port City Apparel was started in 2009. Those were both the response to the slowdown. The Legacy Knitting, when we were able to buy our partner out in 2021, we started Legacy Knitting as a new parent company that owns Socko and then also works with a whole lot of companies around the country producing custom socks and beanies.
Nice. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That is literally my favorite thing is funky socks.
Oh,
yeah.
Like every time I'm that guy, like I grew up watching like random TV shows and seeing people in full suits and then they pick their foot up and you see like the funky socks going on. Cause I used to watch Bones and that was like the thing is, her partner always had a full suit cause he was at work, but then he had some weird rooster socks or something crazy going on. Mm-hmm. So that's what I do at work all the time now.
Same. I'm the same way too. I started when I was in jewelry as well for a while. And it was always like a conversation starter and stuff. Like, especially like if there was the kids running around, they'd be like, cause I always wore superhero socks. I still do. And be like, oh, Superman, like Hulk.
Well, we have, so there's a like 2008, it was actually the same time period, 2008, a business in California, a really great sock maker. It was a group of ex surf industry executives that got together and said, there's a niche that's just not being served in the surf industry. And they started this company called Stance, and they were the first people to come out with a sock. Most up until then, even if you saw Quiksilver or some of the big brands, Hurley, Volcom in the surf shops or mall shops, they would have like socks, but it would just be like two or three pair hanging at the end. It was like, yeah, we have to have socks.
Yeah.
And they would sell them for like $4 a pair, or $8 a pair. Stance came out and said, we're going to sell ours for $16 to $20 a pair. And people were like, you're never going to make it. And all of a sudden every kid had to have these crazy socks.
Right.
So we started ours a year later. Mm-hmm. Our shtick wasn't having all the crazy stuff on them. Ours was a 3-stripe classic 70s tube sock. Okay. Mm-hmm. Didn't go so well. Retail, like it turns out people
like the funky stuff.
Yeah, they really like the funky stuff. So the first couple years we had some great ambassadors and it was a labor of love, and thankfully we had another business that could pay the bills,
right?
So we could build the brand without needing the cash. And but as time went on, 3 stripes really got ingrained into fashion, and all of a sudden you saw everybody, you know, from Louis Vuitton to Tom Ford to whoever, the models were on the runway wearing 3-stripe tube socks. And about 2 years ago, we actually got a photo shoot with Anne Hathaway, this really cool photo shoot, and she's wearing our Socko socks. And yeah, very, very cool. So it's taken a long time for it to just probably like, just like this bottle,
right?
It took a long time for Socko to kind of age and get into its own space. But it's finally starting to truck now, and we've got some great distributors. But the new sock business works much like PCA does. And PCA's serving a whole just array of different customers, from energy companies to mom and pops to food distribution companies to brands. Mm-hmm. And so the sock company is doing the same thing. And we just had an amazing, if you guys are into sun care products, Sunbum, very popular brand. So we just delivered a couple weeks ago, every small retailer that supports Sunbum will have 24 or 48 pair of our socks in their shop. And if you go in and buy some stuff, you'll see a pair of sun, you get a free pair of Sunbum with a $30 purchase. Huh. So yeah, it's pretty, like that's a pretty cool, it's a great brand for us to be collaborative with.
Yeah. I mean, as I got older, I had to figure out what products work on my skin, because I end up allergic to stuff.
Half of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what is in all this? And you never know. But Sunbum has been really good. I'm pretty sure that's what my wife uses.
Oh, yeah.
I just get a sunburn.
I went to Puerto Rico during the pandemic. My youngest son, Christian, by the way, fun fact, just back up. So we move here. We get everybody here. Mm-hmm. We move the businesses here. It's right. excruciating. My youngest son doesn't really say a whole lot till he's three. And everybody's like, oh, well, this is the effect of the accident. And there's going to be more that's going to come out. And it turns out he has issues, none of them related to the car accident.
Yeah.
So anyway, he's actually going to be at UNCW as a freshman this year.
Oh,
so
nice. Yeah, oh, that's great.
So shout out to Christian and the Seahawks. But we go to Puerto Rico on this mission trip, and I'm there, and our doctor's there, and I'm putting on the fancy sunscreen, mm-hmm. and he pulls out this tube of Desitin, which is diaper ointment,
right? Yeah.
And he's putting it on, you know, and I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, well, look at the ingredients. And I'm like, I look at it. And he's like, this is the best sunscreen on the face of the planet. It's $1.50. I'm like, you got to be kidding. So I use a little diaper ointment now.
Huh. Interesting. Anyway. Never would have guessed.
Do what you got to do.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Oh, that's funny.
We've just like being here. Oh, you can pull that closer to you. Kind of stretch. Like, being in where we're at, talking to people all the time and learning things. I'm like, there's so many businesses that get the big name because of their marketing. Mm-hmm. Like, I love MJ. I mean, I'm going to put him up there as one of the best basketball players of all time.
Agreed.
But like, his bottle of liquor is always on the top shelf because it's just a tall bottle.
Right.
Doesn't mean it's the best bottle.
Yeah. So for us, my middle son is a big MJ fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so he'll be listening to this later and he'll be like, Dad, come on. Anyway, we won't even get into my top five, but MJ's definitely in the top five.
Yes.
So anyway, from a marketing standpoint, I think that's a really, again, an interesting play between the generation that I come from and this new generation that understands not only the social aspects of media, but also what's going to be coming with AI and just like, I mean, Mark Zuckerberg creates a new, whatever it's called, Thread. And all of a sudden he's right. got 40 million followers in 2 days. And you're like, that's how quickly things can change.
Yes. Right.
Right. So for us, we didn't market very well, and it wasn't because we didn't have the desire, and it wasn't that we didn't have the budget, but we didn't have the talent. And then putting this on myself, I didn't understand it well. And during the first 20 plus years of our businesses, I did a lot of things by instinct. I was a history major,
yeah.
volleyball player. So yeah. I was like, I didn't have any.
Follow your gut.
I didn't, exactly. And a lot of that gut was gut wrenching because mm-hmm. we made some big errors. And so that, looking back, if you don't learn from it, then it's really a mistake. If you right. learn from it, true. Then it's an opportunity and growth. And so I think the biggest thing I got, just because of all the companies we work with, I'm around some brilliant marketing people. And I happened to meet one at Stone Brewing. His name's Chris Carroll, and he's now got his own consulting company. But he was there for many, I think 13 years or something. And he took them from a very small company as a marketing person to,
yeah.
I mean, a very large company. And he said, one day we were meeting and he said, John, get this book by Seth Godin. And I'm like, what's the book? And he's like, it's called This Is Marketing. And I'm
yeah.
like, well, how good could that book be? So I read it. Now I've read it several times. And I listened to it. And from a person who doesn't understand marketing, I guess naturally, mm-hmm. it's brilliant. Seth's approach is 100% client-based. It's 100% the other person. It's 100%. It's not about you, it's about them.
Right.
What can you do every day to serve them, solve their problems, make sure that you're consistent, you know, over and over and over. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, this isn't marketing. This is like business 101. And he's like, exactly.
Right. Exactly.
So I'm like, oh, so we hired a couple of really neat, I use the word kids because they'll get upset, but we hired some young people who are very talented
yeah.
and they're learning as they go too. In fact, I think you've spoken to one yeah. of them, Heather. And just a different approach, different thought process, from photography to writing mm-hmm. to connecting to just making sure people see that it's not just a company or a business, but that there's people there.
Yeah.
And so that, to me, it all made sense, but we didn't have anybody doing it. And most of marketing has to be doing, even if you fail, you at least tried, right? So for our business, we just started that really earnestly 3 years ago. So the first 25 years, it was word of mouth and, you know, success and failure.
Yeah. Yes. And I've known you guys since I've lived here my whole life. So I've heard of Port City Apparel, and they're one of the few brands, like you guys are one of the few brands that I trust because of the quality of your products, which is why the word of mouth works.
Sure.
Versus like, oh, hey, you know, I've seen a ton of marketing. Like when I hear Port City Apparel, I'm like, what is that?
Right
off the top of your head. But then you look into it and you're like, oh, hey, they have really great stuff. Mm-hmm. Versus these brands who have like this amazing marketing team, but their product is not.
I think from day one, because we had a manufacturer's background and we were working with some really, you know, people could say, oh, it's Disney or oh, it's Universal or it's Hard Rock. Well, 20 years ago, a lot of people really wanted to wear a Hard Rock Cafe t-shirt. Right, yes. And then Disney, to be Disney approved as a vendor Universal approved. And
it
means
a lot.
It means a lot.
Mm-hmm. And very high standards.
We had and then the design efforts that go into a product, it takes them a year to bring it out. So we were doing that for decades, watching the process. And one of the things that I learned was it doesn't matter if I love a design. It matters if the client loves mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, let me tell you what you should do. And it's like, what would you like to do? And I could share with them my opinion. Hey, that probably isn't going to be the best t-shirt for your, you know, what are mm-hmm. you looking for? And they'll say, well, hey, bring me what you love. And let's see if we can execute it with your brand. And like I was sharing earlier, there's three different customers that come to Port City Apparel. There's the person who needs a price or a quick delivery. They've got an event.
Yeah.
That's probably a pretty small percentage of people. The second one is they're an established company. They're busy. They're a marketing executive or a marketing team, or they might even be a parts manager at an auto dealership. They want a really good product. They want it on time and they want it for a fair price. Yeah. But they have their day job. They're like, I don't have time to think about this. I'm going to give it to a pro. Mm-hmm. And then the third group of people that are like, and we love those people. Those are the bread and butter of our business. But the exciting part that gets us up every day is we get to meet with a lot of young brands. And it doesn't matter if it's your brand or it's some billion-dollar brand. If they want to execute the product well, we want to be in the conversation, listen, and then come to the table with not just creativity, but because we manufacture, we're able to get them every brand that's available. So if you want to look at t-shirts, we would have 100 different manufacturers versus just saying, hey, I just have two or three. So if you want a $100 t-shirt, they exist.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you want a $3 t-shirt, they exist. There's a big $100 is... Yes. Probably a little ridiculous.
But there's a quality difference.
There is.
You have access to those people who make the quality shirts.
Yeah.
Like if I buy an Old Navy t-shirt and it's for $8, I'm like, well, they're still making a lot of money, which means the cost of this t-shirt's really low.
And it's probably gonna
shrink. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
You're going to wear it for 10 washes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, somebody else is going to get it.
Quantities of scale.
Yeah.
See, and I'm one of those people who I'd much rather spend money on a good quality piece and just wear it for decades.
Yeah. Kind of going back to the marketing thing real quick too, just because we talked about Rocco off camera is I always love watching his social media because they're always up to something.
Yeah.
And it seems like your social media is very similar to that too. So you guys have a lot of fun at work, which kind of,
we do. So we have a really, I'd say age diverse group of people.
Yeah.
So we have a pretty large set of under 30s, and then we've got over 30s, and I separate them that way. And what's fun is like when we will get in the office and people will start talking about movies, and mm-hmm. I'll ask, you know, I mean, I'll share with like popular, like Star Wars.
Yeah.
And they say, I've never seen it. I'm like, are you kidding?
Hurts.
I'm like, wait, how about Harry Potter? They're like, I haven't seen it. I'm like,
oh no.
I'm like, I'm not even a Harry, but I'm like, you got. So there's some real fun that the socials have because of just the difference in the thought processes. Right. So we've got some really, really great creativity. And then, we have a pretty loose office. Everybody comes. We really want to work hard. We're an 8-to-5 business, but we tell everybody no OT. So we require it. If you want to work overtime, you're not working in the right place. We demand that you come. put your best effort in, work 8 hours, pound, and then go be with your family and go hang out. And then we try to take as many opportunities to celebrate the team, whether it's a baby shower, birthday, like every birthday gets celebrated.
Right.
Nice. Yeah. We try to do at least once a month, a meal in the warehouse with everybody. So we don't have a front of house or back of house mentality. Mm-hmm. Everyone's a valued team member. And so when you see people walking around having fun, it really is pretty fun. So
did I see that you guys are having this might have been a couple of years ago now, but like a ping pong tournament?
Yes.
Yeah.
We have one every year.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh.
And yeah, this year Carson took home the prize. Last year I somehow skated through with the prize. And nice. Then the great thing is I won't spoil it because we're going to Topgolf soon, but there's some cool prizes. So it's not just the tournament. There's lots of rankings that go into it, and
yeah.
there's lots of bragging rights. And there's literally a big trophy with your name on it. Yeah. I mean, it's a big deal.
That's really cool.
Everybody has a good time with it.
Cool.
So
that's a way to do it too. Cause yeah. I feel like if you're not having fun at work, like you're doing something wrong because you're spending nearly a third of your life there.
Yeah.
So,
and I think too, like if it was all fun and games, it would be great, but it can't just be work.
So all the time.
Yeah, all the time. And if you're serious all the time, it can get a little taxing on everybody. And we have stressful times just like everybody. Like this last 3 years has been just an odyssey.
Yeah.
Not just for our business, but for a lot of our customers and a lot of our vendors. We had, we had a lot of customers that didn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a reminder that, this place is fragile.
Yeah.
And business is fragile. So, one of the best things that we did during those 150 days when there wasn't any revenue, we had some salespeople that are awesome in our office. And they were like, John, we were working remote and I figured out we could make masks and make hand sanitizer. So all of a sudden we became essential, which was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, call every customer and just ask them if we can help them. And they're like, well, what are we selling them? I'm like, you're not selling them anything. Just if they need something, we'll ship it to them and they can pay us later.
Yeah.
Right. But just ask them, can we help? Can we ship you masks? Can we ship you hand sanitizer? And they made thousands of phone calls over that 4 months.
Yeah.
And that the spring of 21, our business increased so dramatically because of all of that effort. Those people remembered, and so it wasn't necessarily fun. But it was like, if we got to be here and we're going through this, let's try to at least assist these other people that were really struggling. And we were going to get hurt no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you might try to help somebody if everybody's hurting, let's at least see if we can be helpful.
Yeah. That's a great mentality to take for that.
We saw it around Wilmington too. There was there was a restaurant. We printed up a bunch of shirts, and actually Rocco, I think, was even involved with that. And just trying to raise money. We went out to some of the breweries and, just buy whatever.
Right.
Whatever they were selling, just try to help them out.
Yep.
And so I think that mentality has to go into the marketing as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Which leads into our sponsored segment right now. Right now we're sponsored with 30 Off Local. Have you ever heard of them?
I have.
So we're working with them because we figured we're a local podcast. We want to help support local and might as well save a little money at the same time, because their motto is kind of shop local, save local, support local.
Sure.
And it's really awesome because they actually support a lot of local restaurants, bottle shops, maybe me in the future, local events, fine dining, especially for us. I think it's really cool because there's places in the Cargo District as well as some fitness shops and fine dining. I mean, I'm looking at this list of spots and it has a view at a loft. Is that how you say it?
Yep, a view. Yeah, that's one of my favorite places to go to, which it always helps get the 30% off of there because it's a little pricey when you're doing rooftop bars. So.
But it's cool because you get a full price gift certificate for 30% off. You just go onto the website, make an account, and you can purchase these gift certificates, and they kind of send it to you on your phone. You can print it out, show them to them. And I'm like, like I said, shop local, save local, support local.
Yeah. And we're always looking for different sponsors and stuff too. And it has to make sense for us. We're very picky like that.
Yeah.
So when we kind of saw all of us come together, hey, this is exactly what we're trying to support. So this makes a good partnership.
Well, I'll tell you, going back, Eric McCart came to us maybe 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like it was literally right before the pandemic.
Yeah.
And he just shared with us, what it would mean to be involved with their business and marketing and sharing. And so we committed to that. And it just has been, like, I'll say, nothing short of amazing and wonderful, not necessarily in the phones ringing or whatever, but just in the connections that we've been able to make. Oh, and yeah. then also the people that know other people. Mm. You're just so surprised. You walk in and you're like, oh, there's three people in the room, and they're like, everybody yeah. points at each other. And so, yeah, we haven't been a sponsor of that, mm-hmm. but I will tell you, we're pretty thoughtful yeah. and we love to sponsor great things. So I would be interested to hear more about what we could do with you guys as far as yeah. something like that looks like.
Yeah, definitely.
We love it. And like I said, and we do small shout outs all the time, but your brand, like, when Tyler bought these glasses, I was like, you were the silliest person ever, because we hadn't even had like three episodes and he bought these, but they've lasted
yeah.
and they're still.
Yeah. And just having a guest be able to take this home with them.
Yeah.
It just, it's that extra kind of the extra point that you're talking about yeah, too. Yeah. And
it's thoughtful.
Yeah. Very
and
thoughtful.
It's memorable. Someone. And yeah, for you guys too, like, you're always out purchasing products. You're always mm-hmm. shopping someplace. You know, there's such a big chat about sustainability and about, you know, definitely what impact the industries have on the planet. And for our industry, it's a real big discussion point, because things that don't get used, or they get used once and thrown away,
right?
That's just not a positive.
No.
So if you're a business, like for us, John, you're marketing's buying higher end products or more quality. Yes, we are, because yeah. it'll get used more. It'll be seen more. It'll be more valued, and you won't have to come back and buy it, you know, day after day or year after yep. year. You buy it, you know, so products with planned obsolescence it's not, for us, a smart move.
Yeah.
So I love that, you know, something like this is going to be used, you know, over and over by somebody when they take it home, which is yep. great. That's exactly what we want to do, is create a product that someone's going to use literally over and over and over.
Yeah. It's fantastic too. Every time we get a picture from one of our past guests that like has it out like on their back porch or something, it's like, hey, drinking a whiskey out of the Whiskey and Wisdom glass. That's super cool. And I'm sure you guys see that all the time.
We get a lot of photos, and we get to share a lot through, you know, the great thing is just the people that we have, I want to call it a relationship, even if it's transactional, mm-hmm. the people know that it's first class, and they're going to yeah. be, you know, everything from the order confirmation to the follow-up to even the invoicing, the way that we do business mm-hmm. is going to be first class. And so at the end of the day, when you see the product out there in that's natural life being right. served or being used, you're like, wow, that's so cool. And it's easy to see it with the races and the events, but when you mm-hmm. go, you know, like we walk into car dealerships that we work with, and everybody's dressed head to toe, I mean, just super tight,
right.
like, yeah. wow. Or you go into a coffee shop, it's just, it makes a difference. And you walk into another business, and it's, you can tell someone, they don't have that same attention to detail, right. or it's not important to them. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm biased, but the people that really care about that, I notice it, and I'm sure other people do as well.
Oh, they do.
And, yeah. But
just more subconscious, I guess.
It is. Yeah. If you care about it, what else are you caring about?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So if the people present really well and the product's awesome, then that business really cared about what the people's perception was of their brand.
Yeah.
Yes. So we're at the funny part of the episode. Well, you mentioned going into coffee shops,
yeah.
and I see a note here that you do drink a lot of coffee.
Yes.
Do you make it at home, or do you go out to like local shops?
Yes.
So
all of the above.
What are your top three local places to go?
Okay. So
that's not
very, so I'm going to start. Well, I don't frequent Starbucks.
Oh, okay.
If I need to go there, if I'm at an airport or whatever,
right.
it's great. You know exactly what you're going to get. So I'm very partial to a little shop here in town called Social Coffee, yeah. one on Oriole Drive.
Yes.
And actually we just gained an awesome new team member. We took him away from Social. So so this is a fun fact. Mm-hmm. 10 years ago, I was just talking to one of our neat team members, and she's like, John, when I first started here, you were drinking Folgers. and it was rough. I'm going to tell you, rough. She's like, what? So I do make coffee at home. Mm-hmm. Then we make it at the office. Mm-hmm. And then I'm one of those kind of strange people that can have a pretty big cup of coffee at dinner and be asleep 5 minutes later.
Same.
So caffeine, it does tend to, I guess, get me going. Mm-hmm. but I love the taste and I love the flavor and I love the smell. It's something about the warm, and I don't even drink it all. I just hold the cup and I love smelling it.
Yeah.
So yeah. Other fun fact for this show specifically, the last time I had a drink like this, it was in Cabo San Lucas 29 years ago.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No. I wound up in a tree in the middle of the bar. They had to get me out. They had to get me down. My wife was like, you know, come down. And So anyway, but yeah. So that's another story. But you said funny. So
yes.
It wasn't funny at the time. We can laugh out about it now. But yeah.
Right.
I wound up spending the night outside. It was like 110 degrees.
Oh my goodness.
My wife locked me out of the condo. She's like, you're out there. I'm like, oh.
Anyway, you have to sweat it out.
I'm kind of sad I just let that story out because
everyone's like, you have to have a good story.
Yeah.
And I like that.
If you'd been there, it would have been the most amazing story. You'd right. Like, this is so good. Yeah, definitely.
I love it. Yeah, no.
So what, real fast too, since we were talking about social, since they're roasting their own.
They just started doing it.
They just started doing it now. Yeah. So is that what you're bringing into the office now? Or
so no, I don't know exactly what is in Pete's or in the, so we have Pete's.
Oh yeah. The Pete's coffee.
Yeah. Pete's coffee. And I don't like French roast. I don't like a lot of the flavor. I like dark or I like Colombian, but I like it where it's pretty strong. And I drink it black now. So I was drinking, I was drinking too much. I was drinking probably a couple pots a day.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like 24 cups. Wow. So then I've cut it way, 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 way back. So now I'm trying to have like maybe 7 or 8 cups a day.
Okay.
But cups, like not mugs. Not a venti, you know? And then I throw half of it out, but I love coffee. When I say I love coffee, I love coffee.
Good. Yeah.
And everybody around me loves coffee.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm the same way too. Yeah. Blue Cup has a pretty good cup of coffee.
Okay.
Yeah. So I get.
And that's right here?
Yep. That's right across the street from us here.
Okay.
So I go there quite a bit and I'm the same way. I only drink it black now too.
Yeah.
When I did 75 hard 3 years ago, you have to start cutting out like carbs and stuff where possible. And I was like, this added sugar and creamer is just wasted carbs for my day. So I started drinking it black. And then that's when you can really start diving into flavors of coffee. Is when you're drinking it black and kind of figuring out like, oh,
it's so rich.
Good? Yeah.
And you can tell then somebody will make a flat cup of coffee and you're like, thanks, but no thanks.
Right.
Yeah. You're like, you know, I mean, I love Denny's coffee. Mm-hmm. I do, but it's just not, that's what I was drinking Folgers back in the U-Ban, you know?
Yeah. Just not the same.
It's not.
Well, I joke about like drinking coffee. I don't drink it. Everyone looks at me like I'm crazy because I don't drink caffeine like that. I'll drink tea, but that's just like, I have a long, like I have a free day with nothing planned. So sure, I'll drink a cup of tea, but we started at the work at Reed's and we offer coffee.
Okay.
And because I support local, I just try to go to like the local coffee shop and like buy a bag. And that's when I started like truly smelling the difference and everyone in the store, because something happened and like we ran out of the bag that I had bought. So they found a bag. And they're like, oh, yeah, let's use this. And everyone was like, this is the most stale, boring. I'm like, yeah, that's what happens when I'm going to spend a little bit extra money, but you're putting money back into the community, but you're also getting better flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We love putting snacks, and I'm talking everything from Slim Jims to chips to protein bars. We'll do some whatever. They're healthy. Yeah, some of them.
Right.
So a couple of them are healthy and it's great because everybody at the office, you know, can just dive in and then the coffee's always there. And there's a couple, I leave it, by the way, do you freeze your coffee?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So summertime I do freeze my wife's extra coffee. So that way when we go to the beach, she can have an iced coffee.
Okay. So I'll fresh grind everything. I put it in the freezer and I tape it tight and it'll keep 90% of its flavor for about a month. If you leave it out, then it'll start losing a lot of its. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Put it in the freezer.
That's what we do too.
Oh, I thought you meant like once you make the coffee, freeze it.
No, I'm talking the beans or the grounds. The beans, not so much, but the fresh ground.
Once you grind.
And once you grind it up, put it in the freezer.
Yeah.
It'll just keep that pop.
I have plenty of space in my freezer, so I'll just store my coffee in the freezer.
Yeah.
So I just have a quick question for you two.
Yeah.
So for the process of this, how did you all get together? I mean, you probably have shared this on other episodes, but this is my...
Yeah.
So
we both worked at Reed's together.
Okay.
Actually, yeah. And so we worked together at Reed's for a few years and we just kind of hit it off there. And I started over at my new job. I'm a financial advisor now. So I went over there and we still got together and hung out, got drinks and knew we wanted to start a podcast at some point. And we were talking about what we were going to do. We wanted to share other people's stories.
Sure.
And we're asked people around like, hey, what should we name this? So like, maybe we'll have a whiskey component. Like, who knows? And then someone offered up Whiskey and Wisdom. And we're like, you know what? That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great. I love the collaboration too. Just I'm listening to you and it's great.
Oh, it's quite literally because we work together.
Right, yeah.
There's a lot of background stuff here.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of teamwork that went on because, like, we have just enough different personalities but enough similarities that, like, we're not going to get on each other's nerves too much. But different enough where, like, I tend to be more, like, the serious stoic type of. And then Chris will definitely lighten it up. So I knew if I just had an interview podcast with someone, it'd be quite boring. And if Chris had an interview podcast, you wouldn't know what you're talking about. So
no, he at least has some research. Like we've gotten better. Like we don't have official seasons, but you can kind of see, you'll notice when we change something in the podcast, because we'll like do a little bit more research and we'll know something. And that's literally just me just chilling like, oh, hey, I showed up. What do you do again?
Yeah. Well, too, if you've been through customer service issues, together.
Yeah.
Those are some of the most powerful moments. If somebody's really unhappy and you can see how someone solves that problem or meets that person where they are, it gives you so much, not just understanding, but empathy. And also just like, whoa, that's like, how are we going to deal with this?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Working in retail. You saw that a lot.
Yeah.
So Chris has a last question for you. Then I have a question following up after that.
Yes. So question is, because you've had multiple businesses and you have quite a large family that's been brought over here. What would the definition of success be for you?
Great question. I think it's probably changed dramatically. If I were to go through each decade, you know, you mentioned, you know, fine watches earlier. And I think when you start a business, the goal is, at least in my thinking, was that you wanted to have some financial independence. You also wanted to have some flexibility. But most importantly, you have an idea or a way of translating a certain task or a product so that the public will see it differently than someone else and you'll get more customers and you'll succeed. And I think that was initially what we sought to do. And then the second part of it, once you have some success, you want more success. And so when you're defining success, it could be financial, it could be reputation, and then you know, now it's going on I would say we're in the third quarter, my wife and I, of the game that we're playing.
Yeah.
Maybe closely at the end of the third quarter. And I think now it's, you know, it's much more based on the community that we have. You mentioned that word earlier, and I know it's a little cliche, but the community we have is we have customers that we care about deeply, that we have long standing relationships with. Mm-hmm. And some of them are personal, but most of them are just professional. And then we have team members that we like literally have to shepherd every day. And our goal is to grow those people. And I had a couple of really, really strong mentors that came along. And those guys just imparted to me to start reading and start learning because I wasn't trained in business.
Yeah.
And the more I read and a couple of like one of my favorite authors is John Maxwell. Mm-hmm. He just talks about success on so many different levels, but really it's not my success. It's if the company or the business is going to succeed, the people individually inside have to succeed first on their level, then on a team level. And then finally the business is successful. So for me, on a business level, the success is the team is functioning at a high level. We're growing people.
Yes.
They may not stay with us forever, but if they look back and say, hey, I spent some time with this team, I grew tremendously, and we invest in that. We have we're reading books, we're learning, we're watching, you know, programs that are helping us grow as people. From a personal aspect, we have our youngest son leaving. My wife and I, we're down to just having my dad, who's going to be, 90 here pretty soon. Ooh. So he lives in a little cottage on the back of our little property.
Oh, that's great.
So we're getting rid of all the teenagers, but we're just down to him. But he has his own insurance.
Oh yeah,
his own car. he buys his own groceries, so he's easy.
Right.
But I think from a personal aspect, you know, faith and family are the most important things for success. Mm-hmm. And I think it's easy to say that if you can pay the bills or if the business is somewhat stable. But we've had some periods where the business wasn't stable, and those things were the things that actually got us through. If we didn't have our faith in our family, like we would literally not have been able to get through some of the, we've been in some pretty hectic scrapes over the last 28 years. Mm-hmm. And then we've had 2 years of scrapes and 26 years of amazing fun and business.
Right.
I wouldn't trade it for anything. So success to me is where we are today and where I hope to be, you know, tomorrow and next year and the year after that.
That's great.
Okay.
That was perfect. Yeah. I love that answer. So mine kind of follows suit along with that too. If you were to tell your younger self one thing, what would it be?
Ooh. Yeah. I share these stories in the office frequently, and my kids know most of them. My wife knows most of them, all mm-hmm. of them. The younger me was very angry and very competitive.
Yep.
And I was competitive because long story short, I'll try to make this 30 seconds. I wasn't born here. I was born overseas.
Okay.
At the age of 5, I had to go away to boarding school. So I got to see my parents maybe 3 weeks out of the year until I was close to a teenager. We moved to the States when I was about 12 years old. Mm. And when you grow up in a dormitory and you got a phone, you learn how to be really good at fighting for your food and fighting for everything else. And so the younger me hurt a lot of people. And that's a tough place to be. So I guess if I were to look back and say, you know, I guess the most important thing I probably should have done was had a lot more grace and mercy for the people around me. Instead, I had a lot of anger. So
yeah,
I'm super blessed and grateful now to be where I am. And I'm a shell of my former self, which is great. Yeah. And I'm much more in tune with the people around me and my family. But yeah, it was the younger me is not a good, It was not a pretty picture.
Yeah.
So anyway.
No, that's
great. Did that answer that?
Yeah, that's super powerful. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, that's good.
Since we're wrapping up, do you have anything you guys want to shout out?
Yeah, obviously I'm just super grateful again. And that fact that we were able to work with you all just on some products before we even, you know, had a chance to talk to you like this is great. So grateful that you love the product.
Absolutely.
And I actually have a couple ideas from today's just listening and learning.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to share some stuff with you guys that you can share with your clients, and it won't be 30 off. it'll be 100% off. We'll do something nice for you guys. We care about our team. We're passionate about the client and the product that they want to build. And I know that's easy to say, like I use that phrase earlier, it's cliche, but it's true. It's important. Mm-hmm. Like we want the whole process from the start of the conversation to literally the follow-up call afterwards to be the same. So the person on the other end's like, man, these people are on it. They follow up. The product was great. Thank you so much. You know, and some of those people we talk to once a year, mm-hmm. some of those people we talk to once a day, but we want the conversation to be the same regardless.
Yeah.
So the people
quality.
Know, yeah, the quality. Quality. The quality of people too, first and foremost.
Yeah.
So.
Love it. And we'll also put the Instagram and everything down in the show notes as well.
Thank you very much.
You can find it, click it, and go straight to you.
I love it. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Their Instagram is very interesting because it's Port City Apparel PCA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it makes plenty of sense. I love it. Their website is super bright, super fun. And if you ever need any apparel needs, check them out. Port City Apparel, Legacy Knitting.
You got it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And yeah, I got some ideas for you.
Cool.
Perfect.
But yeah.
Talk about them.
Thank you everybody for listening to the podcast. We'd love it if you'd like, comment, share, subscribe, and we will have some fun stuff in the future for you to check into as well.
Yep.
All right.
Cheers.